That's the goal, really, to get people's blood pressure up, but then to get them thinking. Because I've taught for a decade, of course, in Texas politics, and I try to follow the state's major newspapers on a daily basis. And it became very clear to me over the years that the business pages of Texas newspapers touted the Texas dream, that people are moving here in large numbers, job creation well above the national average. But then I look at the front section of the newspaper, the main news section, and you see that education is mediocre, health care is not available to lots of Texas, the roads are potholed and traffic is building. So it seemed to me that the myth and the reality were different, and I wanted to look closely to see how Texas was actually doing, and then I wanted to tell people.
Some of it's part history, it's part analysis, and it's divided into three sections. The first section, which I think is probably the biggest, most hefty section, is the great state of Texas, ? And you talk about what you term the Texas way. What is the Texas way?
Yeah, I wanted to go all the way back to the Republic of Texas to start thinking about how Texas developed. And it became clear to me that there has been a Texas model or a Texas way that goes back to Stephen F. Austin and Sam Houston. And it was a vision that saw small government, low taxes, deregulation, and very heavy dose of personal responsibility. And throughout Texas history, that has been the model. And for lots of Texas history, that worked quite well. But as you get to the current day, and much more importantly, looking forward, that will not be sufficient. I think that Texas' future is in danger, and that's why I wanted to sound the alarm.
So a lot of this, in your mind, is myth, this idea that we as Texans are bigger than life.
This has been a myth of Anglo-Texas throughout the history of the state. And for most of the state's history, there was a very large Anglo majority. 75-80% of Texans were Anglo at the turn of the 20th century, all the way up to 1950. And as we move to the current day, you're 47% Anglo now, 38% Hispanic, 11% Black. And when you go out to 2040, you have one-third Anglo, 56-57% Hispanic, and about 10% Black. That will be a different Texas, and we're not prepared for that Texas.
You talk about that later in the book. This idea that the Hispanic population in Texas will, in the very near future, become the majority, and that in the Hispanic population, the level of education is lower, the number of high school grads is less, they're earning less money. You believe, I think, that this bodes very poorly for the state.
I think that's right, and there is significant shared responsibility here. I think Texas Hispanics have to focus on education, on getting a good, high-quality education, staying in school, preparing themselves well to go on to college. But the state of Texas also has a very significant responsibility to fund high-quality public schools so that Hispanic Texans, who are now the majority in our lower grades of public schools, can get that good education and be prepared to go on to college. So in the last legislative session, we cut $4 billion out of a public education establishment that already ranked 44th in the country. But when you're 44th out of the 50 states, that is a real problem. That has to change if Texas is going to thrive going forward.
Republican candidates, and we are a red state, would find it very difficult to say the things you're saying and get elected.
You have some groups in Austin that are adamantly against tax increases. What I try to do in this book is to show that Texas spends 72% of state revenue average nationally, and that the rest of the South spends 88% of the national average. So we're at 72, the rest of the South is at 88. And so we could adjust our tax revenues to something closer to the Southern average, which would mean we would remain competitive for business siting and for job creation because we would just be moving up closer to other Southern states. And if we did that, there are lots of revenue sources available that would not impact Texans in a dramatic way, but would allow us to fund education and health care, road building and transportation infrastructure in ways that would allow for our success going forward.
Well, Cal Jolson, I suspect you're going to get a lot of feedback from your Republican friends on this book, and your colleagues are already telling you may not be able to stay in the state, but but this is a great conversation to have. Thank you for joining us.
It's an important conversation to have. Thank you, Shelley.
The book is Lone Star Tarnished. The author is Cal Gilson, a political science professor at Southern Methodist University. I'm Shelley Koffler.